Hello and welcome to the Other Half podcast, where we talk about the other half of life that doesn't make the highlight reel. The other half of life looks like going off script, telling stories, and sharing poignant insights on the Enneagram, entrepreneurship, and relationships. I'm Justin Boggs, certified Enneagram coach and entrepreneur.
And I'm Meredith Boggs, writer and speaker behind the Other Half blog. Hey, hey, we are back with season 3 of the Other Half podcast.
Welcome, people.
Sorry, it's been a minute.
That's true. It's been
almost a year.
Year-long minute.
Yeah, after we wrapped up season 2, we had planned to take a little hiatus while we were working on this season, because we knew that the season was going to take us a good amount of time to prep and record. And then
2020 happened.
Yeah, and we don't need to relive that because y'all lived it too. But
I do want to relive the fact that you're preggers.
Yeah, I have a little baby in my belly.
We got a
now.
Baby on the way.
Yeah, and he'll be here in just a few months. So that was a bright spot of 2024.
That was the bright spot, I think.
That was the bright spot. Yeah, 2020, I think, for everyone came with a lot of things. But yeah, we got a baby out of it. Justin started a new business.
We got a baby out of it.
Justin started a new business. So back in startup life. And now here we are.
It's going very well.
Yeah. Now here we are, January 2021. It's a new year. Time for a new season. And we're really excited about this season, because it is exclusively Enneagram content. And not just that, but more importantly, it is about spiritual growth and the Enneagram. And this is something...
I like the way you said that.
Yeah, this is something that we both have... I think the Enneagram has been a huge part of our spiritual and personal growth over the last few years, especially. And we're just excited to dive into that with you guys.
And another reason why this season took so long was because...
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to speak for you unless you agree. We were convicted. Honestly, we were super convicted on the fact that a lot of what we are saying and teaching and communicating this season is really heavy and really important. And so we wanted to slow down a little bit and make sure we were using the right words and had the right heart.
And I think as we spent time with the content that we were going to be talking about, it just required a lot of personal work on our part. And so, that's also kind of why it was one of those things that we're both like, oh yeah, let's check it off the list,
get it done.
We can crank this out. And it was like, actually, that's not going to be fruitful or productive or really serve
good work.
Yeah. And I don't mean this to sound like, I don't know, like cheesy or whatever, but it just wouldn't serve you all well if we just kind of had this mentality of like, oh, let's bust out this content. Let's get this other, you know, let's get a new season live on the podcast. So I would say that's another reason too, that we just really took our time. We were forced to, but then we also realized, to do this justice, we need to take our time. So I think a couple disclaimers about this season. I think for it to be fruitful for anyone that listens and anyone that's on this spiritual growth journey with the Enneagram, is that there has to be a lot of grace for it to be fruitful, a lot of grace for yourself and for other people. And as we were working through recording this season, one of the promises that we've held to for ourselves and for you all is that we are going to try to not use absolutes always and never. I don't think they're super helpful anyways. But try not to use that. Try not to use black and white terms, things like healthy, unhealthy, good versus bad, because there's a lot of gray in life.
And that's where wisdom comes from. You know, wisdom comes in the gray. Wisdom happens in paradox. Mm-hmm. And while it makes us extremely uncomfortable, that's what inspires wisdom.
Yeah.
And so that's the grace and compassion we're asking for as well.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to live in a black and white world where there's right and wrong and good and bad and healthy
sure,
and
makes
unhealthy.
Us
yeah.
And choose a side and that's where you live.
It's clear, but it's a lot more nuanced than that. So that's our commitment to you guys is to...
Yeah. Growth happens in the nuance is what you're saying.
And to be on this journey with ourselves and with you guys, that we're always learning, we're always growing, always changing. And we've talked about this a lot this year as we are preparing for parenthood and just, we've talked a lot about our values and beliefs. And I think, I don't know, I think for better or for worse, you kind of, especially if you grew up in the church, it's kind of this thing of like, you know, stand firm in your beliefs, like know what you believe. And that is important. But I think the conversation that we've come back to this year is let's, you know, revisit our values personally, professionally, for our marriage, for our family. Let's revisit those values, decide especially what we want to carry into this new season of parenthood and what we want to teach our son, and realize that our beliefs are going to change. And I hope that they change. I hope in 5 years we listen to this season and we're like, actually, I don't believe some of the things that I said on there. Because if that's the case, then it means that we're continually growing and learning and changing, and we're not stuck and stagnant. Now, there are some fundamental beliefs, like in the gospel and certain things, that I hope that we hold to forever. But well, I think
I don't want to relate this to business necessarily, but there's a difference between a core value and a belief.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did this season is we set the table to allow a discussion, to learn, to be available, and to potentially change our beliefs. Our core values didn't change. Our theology never changed. Mm-hmm. Our, you know, what we believe in. I don't want to use the word belief because
I think you said it well. I think you said our core values didn't change. Our theology didn't change.
Correct.
But
we are both also committed to always being a learner, and that can mean that what we believe about some this and that, right, can change.
Yeah.
So that's a good challenge to us in terms of 5 years from now. I hope that we're wrong, because that means we are in the learning mindset, mm-hmm, or a student of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
On this side of heaven.
Yeah. So a couple things that we are going to talk about in this season. We're going to dive into triads a lot, which I'm so excited about. I love triads. Mm. The head, the heart, the gut. The shame, the fear, the anger. I love the triads. And we're going to look at those, talk about shadow sides, sin tendencies. And
yeah, what is your true self and what is your shadow side? I'm mm-hmm. excited to discuss.
Yeah. And then talk about spiritual disciplines and practices that are unique to each triad. We're going to talk about childhood wounds. We're going to talk a little bit about trauma in the midst of all that.
It's going to be hard, but really fun and exciting from my standpoint.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the difference between childhood wounds versus trauma versus our attack on virtue, which is the way that God made us in the first place. And that's a really exciting discussion for sure.
Well, yeah, the virtue being like the part of God that we reflect to the world.
Yeah,
the
that's
part
a better definition.
Of our type that we uniquely, we all bear the image of God, but the way that our type uniquely displays his image.
For sure.
World.
We're going to talk about the fact that we can't begin to understand ourselves by what we get right, but instead we only know the why of ourselves when we begin to look at what we get wrong. That's honestly probably the biggest reason why people don't get into the Enneagram, because it makes them feel awful. But when you begin to non-judgmentally look at yourself, you can begin to understand and just see clearly what we get wrong, and then thus learn, which is really exciting too.
Mm-hmm.
What else are we talking about?
Well, I can't remember. It's been a minute since we recorded some of these episodes. I can't remember. Did we actually talk about this next part in an episode?
I don't remember, but I think it does encompass the entire season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for
talk
it.
Talk about it.
Well, I'll go for it then. I don't know if it's in a specific episode, like Mir said, or if it's the entire season, but there's four ways that one can operate from or one can live from.
This is also disclaimer. This is not our unique content. This is something that Suzanne Stabile teaches.
Yeah.
But it's a really helpful way to look at the Enneagram when you're approaching it.
Yeah. We can operate from the wrong number on the Enneagram. you know, the sexy numbers, quote unquote.
Well, yeah.
And a sexy number is different based on what your actual number is.
Right. Or you've just mistyped yourself. And
correct.
That's very common.
Correct.
And normal. And that's okay.
And we all know those people who we think they've mistyped themselves. So one of four places you can
or
operate.
We have been those people who
that's
have
true.
Mistyped ourselves.
That's true.
Like,
I mistyped
like
myself
genuinely
as a
mistyped
for 5
ourselves.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a couple. I think the first thing that you were saying about the sexy types, I think it's when you're like, oh, I want to be a 3 because 3s are awesome. They're achievers and they're successful and whatever. And it's like, you know that you're not actually a 3. Or you can genuinely mistype and think that you are, you know, a 7 when in reality you're an 8 with a big 7 wing or
6.
Or a 6.
That's a bigger factor, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole host of things when it comes to operating from the wrong number.
The second place you can operate from is no number at all. The third, which that could start a whole nother discussion that I'm not going to get into because this is a primer. The third place that you can operate from is the correct number, the right number. And then the fourth place you can operate from. So let me caveat. The third place you can operate from is the right number. Oftentimes, my point in saying that is you are operating from the correct number, but you're also justifying bad behavior. The fourth place, which is the sweet spot, is you are operating from your essence. And we'll define what essence is in later episodes, but your essence is essentially that moment when you meet someone and it feels like, Meredith, this is Christ in me meeting Christ in you. That is the gift of our number. That is the Jesus in me being shined out to the rest. I messed up my flow. I was such in a flow. But that is the Jesus in me.
It's us reflecting that. Yeah, it's us reflecting the image of God and other people being able to see that.
That's the phrase I wanted to use. Yes.
Yeah. That's
us reflecting our image of God or the image of God in the way that he made us.
And I'll say this about essence too. I think, and I don't think we really talk about this in the season, but there's a lot of talk in the Enneagram world about original self and like original essence. And, you know, you can get into this whole debate about like whether we're born sinful or not. And I don't really, that's not the point of it. But I think that there's something really beautiful that happens when we, as broken humans, as when we like have wandered in our type and in our own, just got off track and wandered in it. And when we find our way home to God and to ourselves as we were created to be, and then we reflect that image from him, I think it's one of those things that it's like the redeemed world is actually more beautiful than the world was in its original creation, which is such a strange thing to think about. Because if you think about the Garden of Eden, it's like everything was perfect there. The earth was perfect. Humanity was, and then the fall happened. But that was all part of God's plan. It wasn't
Providence.
A surprise. Yeah. And what will ultimately be the new heaven and the new earth is actually far more beautiful than the original was, because it's been redeemed and because you have that light and that beauty from redemption. So I would say that's a piece of essence too, that I don't think gets talked about as much.
All right. Mystic. Dang.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying.
That's gorgeous.
So
I think one of the themes of the season, is better said by an incredible author that can say it way better than I can. A quote from Henry Nouwen says, every time you close another door, be it the door of immediate satisfaction, the door of distracting entertainment, the door of busyness, the door of guilt and worry, or the door of self-rejection, you commit yourself to go deeper into the heart, thus deeper into the heart of God. The decision that you make, audience, that the decision that you guys make is moving forward in this season and listening to it, which means you're continuing the battle, which means you're diving deeper into the heart of God, which means, as Paul said, a bigger battle, like a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the rest of the season will I guess hopefully feel like, I say I guess because this is the worst marketing play ever, but
it's not really something that you hope for.
Yeah, this is a movement towards incarnation. It's a movement that leads you to realize what you already are as a child of God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point. I think that's the reason why we're here on this side of heaven still.
Yeah.
Not you and I individually, but in general as humanity believers. As
yeah. You have anything else? Well, I just thought about this. We wanted to make this disclaimer. In this season, we talk a lot, for those of you guys that have read the book, The Sacred Enneagram by Chris Hewitt.
Oh, yeah.
It's a phenomenal book and has so much great information and guidance in terms of spiritual practices. And he really does a great job of defining the things like the sin tendencies, the virtues, the holy ideas of each type. And I know that back in the summer, there's a bunch of stuff that came out about him just in different leadership positions that he's been in, a lot of unfavorable things. And he made an apology. And I know, there were certain people that had endorsed his work that, pulled their endorsements. And
all the way up to Brené Brown, right?
Yeah. I was just going to be very general, but if you want to dive into
it. No, I mean, let's be specific. He screwed up in the past, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is this is secondhand information. I don't know him personally, but yeah, a lot came to light. Brené Brown pulled her forward from his book. His publishing label, they kind of put everything on hold. And I'll say this, it's interesting because we ran across this several times in 2020. I think when people had the opportunity to, when people did something publicly and really screwed up and they had the opportunity to own what they did and apologize for it. And I think some people failed miserably and then some people took it and apologized. And there's two, I don't know why these two are so prominent in my mind, but there's two examples from 2020 that just really stuck out to me. One was the CEO of CrossFit. And he was just such a jackass. And he wouldn't apologize. And it was like, you just suck. And then the other one was he's the CEO of a local nonprofit here that they do really good work. And it was around the time that I don't even remember what it was, but there were some posts that happened around the Black Lives Matter movement. And he said some very just
stupid stuff,
just stupid, ignorant things. And then when he tried to apologize, his apology was just embarrassing that they posted on their social media accounts. And it was actually really sad because
it was rejected is what it was.
It was. And I think the sad part was you look at this really successful man who's in his mid 30s, early 40s, and you were like, he's never sincerely apologized to anyone in his life before. And I'll say this in his defense, I think he was trying to be genuine and he got crucified because it was a horrible apology. But go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what we're saying is if you're 25 years old, do you regret the things that you said at 15 years old? If you're 35 years old, do you regret some things that you said at 25?
Or that you did.
If you're 65 years old, do you regret some things that you said when you were 45, 55? The point is, like we said earlier, this season requires grace and compassion because if you're still listening at this point, you believe the fact that we are growing people. Mm-hmm. You believe the fact that we change and we become more discerning and we become more wise, hopefully.
And we don't do the same stupid things that we used to do.
Right. And so with that being said, we use a lot of Chris Hertz in this season and he screwed up a ton.
But I don't think that makes his work
garbage,
or it doesn't make it,
It doesn't negate some things, certain things that were true, that we believe were true, that we believe were fruitful and good. And especially now, he wrote the Sacred Enneagram
of Belonging.
And the Enneagram of Belonging, but both were published post 2000, is that correct?
Well, yeah, they were in the last couple of years.
But he was accused for stuff before 2000 is what I'm saying.
I don't know all the details, and it's also honestly very relevant to this, but.
Well.
But it was our it was point stuff is, from his past. Yes.
Correct. He he's an eight, and he probably made a lot of people upset.
I don't wanna, honey, I don't wanna talk about this. We don't even know him. We don't even know what actually happened.
That's true. I don't wanna you're right.
What we're our point that we're trying to make is, you know, you're gonna hear us refer to him in this. We understand that there's been some less than favorable PR and things that have come out about him. I don't think that it discredits
But we're not pulling the forward. The introduction.
I don't know what you mean by that.
We're not pulling, like, I was comparing it to Brene Brown. We're not pulling.
Oh, we're not going back and saying, oh, we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and do away with this season because he sucks. Like, he has some valuable things to offer the world when it comes to his Enneagram work and spirituality. So we hope that you'll still find fruit from it and that it will benefit you in your personal and spiritual Enneagram journey.
Amen. There's two more quotes I think I want to say. Not two more. One more quote, but can I bottom line it?
Yeah.
Or you bottom line it, and then I'll end it with a quote. No, you're done. Okay. What is that? Okay. There's a random noise. Bottom lining it, Suzanne Stabile said, I spend my life teaching people who they are not so they can become...
So they can spend their life becoming who they are.
Yes. Thank you. And recently in 2020, my grandmother died from COVID as well. And so this season is about what Suzanne Stabile just said and what my grandma is still believing and instilled in us, which is don't become so self-aware that you lose sight of Jesus. Losing sight of Jesus looks a lot like losing your compassion, losing your grace, losing your patience. And that was a lot of the work that Meredith and I had to do for this season. And so that's the same ask that we have for you guys. Until the next episode, peace out. And we love you.
Yeah. See y'all next week. Thanks for listening to The Other Half Podcast. For all the details and links from today's episode, check out the show notes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, or screenshot it to share with your friends on social media, tagging us at Justin Boggs and at Meredith W. Boggs. We'll see you next time on The Other Half Podcast.
See you guys.